Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's read verse 1, and then let's read verse 8. Verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, under the heaven. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. All right, now we're going to just talk about this for a few minutes, about a time of war and a time of peace. There's a lot of different things there, but you know, what he's teaching us here and telling us and pointing out to us the truth that there are cycles in this world, in life in this world. Things change. They're always changing. I've told a lot of you this through the years. You know, if you don't like the way things are, just sit tight. It'll change. Change is like the seasons change. We get tired of the heat and then it turns cool. And then we get tired of the cold and then it warms up. And everything's always changing. God set it up that way. And then it's just the nature of the human race and the way things go for things to change. Sin is like a monster. Evil is. It grows and grows and gains momentum until there's a bursting point. And then it goes back the other way. It's like a wheel that turns. It's on top now, it'll be on the bottom after a while. There's always changing going on. And every one of these things that he names, there's a time for, they're opposites. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. That's exactly opposite. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And that's exactly opposite. Time of war, it exists and it's real, whether we like it or not. A lot of people think that's what we're headed for here. I don't know. I got my doubts about that. I had a bunch of stuff in my mind that I wanted to talk about tonight, but maybe Wednesday night I'll be ready for that. But it's just, it's not a time of war, it's a time of slaughter for us. But anyway, let me get away from that. A time of war. As long as this world stands, there'll be times of war, and there'll be times of peace. Just as sure as there are seasons, winter and summer and fall and spring. You know, all righteous people desire peace and not war. There are some people who evidently love war. Evil people love it. That's why Robert E. Lee said it's good that war is hell. Because men would love it so much. Lest men love it too much is what he said. And that's right. He's talking about unregenerate men, evil men. Evil people just like to fight. They like war, just like people like to fight and fuss. There are some people that just can't never be at peace with anybody. They just got to be at odds all the time. They're contrary. Bible talks about them being a contentious person. Just always a picking, always a ready, always a spoiling for a confrontation, a fight. That's just evil. That's not godly. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what?
Peace.
Yes, sir. There's a time of love and time of hate. There's a time of war. There's a time of peace. We recognize that. We all love the peaceful times. If you're a righteous person, you love peace. You don't like killing. You don't like hating. You don't like fighting. You don't like contention. But likewise, all righteous people are willing to go to war if it's a time of war. The people who are righteous, who know God and have some understanding, they understand that there is a time to fight. You don't like it. You don't want to. That's why war turns out so awful bad. And so it's such an ugly thing, because righteous people won't fight until they're forced to fight. They'll just keep backing up, and they'll keep hoping, and they'll keep talking and trying to reason, and they'll try to appease them and try to buy them off and try to do anything to get them to stop. But evil don't stop. This mess in our country right now, it's evil. Right. It's not a bunch of offended, hurt-feeling people. It's evil, mad, vicious, bloodthirsty people.
Yeah, that's right.
They're murdering. They're thieving and stealing. They're destroying property. They're not black people that's had their feelings hurt. They've not been wronged.
That's right.
Nope.
We didn't do nothing to them. I've never owned slaves. I don't know anybody that's ever owned slaves. There's plenty of black people in the world right now who do own slaves. Yes. Go get them. You want to stop slavery? Look over there. Yep. You know, it ain't that way here. They're not mistreated here. I know how it is, but I've been made fun of because I wear glasses. I've been made fun of because I was little when I was a kid. I've been made fun of because of where I'm from. Mm-hmm. That's a part of life. Yes. Face it. Yes. Ain't got nothing to do with anything else. And I wonder, what do they want? What do they want? They want to kill all white people? What is it they're wanting? What can we do for them? Nothing.
Right.
It's a time to fight. But ain't nobody gonna fight. Getting off in that other message again. Likewise, all righteous people, they are willing to fight if it's a time of war. We had a time in our country when it was that way. You know, you've all heard and we've talked about it and heard it so many times, but at the beginning of World War II, men wanted to go. They lined up the day after Pearl Harbor to go and fight them people who's attacking our country, who's aiming to destroy us. That ain't going to happen now. Time of wars, it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant time. I'm not old enough to remember World War II. I am old enough to remember Vietnam and all these Middle East wars that's been fought and all. But World War II was a different deal. It was a bad time, dangerous time. We just almost lost. Came very close to being defeated, taken over by an evil empire, an evil man. It's a time of danger. Time of war is a time of danger. We're not used to that. The most dangerous thing we do is get in our car and drive down the road, and we don't even worry about that one bit. We ain't going to slow down. We ain't going to be careful. We're just going to, no matter what, we ain't afraid of it. War is different. There's danger, and you know it, and you are afraid. When there's real war, there is no law.
Right.
Nobody obeys rules. There are no rules. Remember the old saying, all's fair in love and war? There's a little bit of truth in that. When it's war, everything is off the table. See, we don't even see that now in our time. They have rules of engagement over there. And, you know, that ain't war. When it's war, you got to be able to do what you got to do right now in this moment. You can't get your book out and see if it's okay or not. You can't call and see if it's okay. It's a time of danger. War is. It's a time when you don't get a rest. Ain't that right, Raymond? There ain't no rest. You can't sleep easy if you can sleep at all. It's a time of fleeing from the enemy. It's a time of courage. You see great things during wartime. You see people come out of the woodwork that you never thought had it in them. A lot of the heroes of World War II, that's the way it was. I'm sure it's the same way in Vietnam. The people that came out and saved the day different times were not people who anybody expected to be the one to do it. It's a time of courage. You find out things during wartime about people that you never would have found out any other way. And that works both ways. You find out who has no courage, and you find out who really does. It's a time of great loss. When we bombed Iraq, is billions and billions and billions of dollars. Destroy everything. What do you think World War II, they absolutely, y'all have seen the pictures, and we watched this long documentary when the kids were still at home about World War II. And you've seen all the pictures of Germany just razed to the ground. Just rubble. That's all that's left. Japan, just absolutely. The cities that they nuked, it laid them flat on the ground. Turned them to gravel and ashes. And whole countries, all of Europe and all of the Pacific Islands and everything just burnt plumb to the ground. How much money was lost? How much property was lost? How many people lost everything? Oh, millions and millions. It's a time of loss. See, we don't know war. This generation don't know war, and I'm including myself. I've never lived through a war. When the Civil War happened in this country, you know, the South was, you know, Sherman had this burn earth strategy. Destroyed it to the ground. Didn't matter who you were, if you were involved in it or not. When they come through, they burnt your house, your barn, killed all your animals, took everything you had. I mean, left you desolate. War. Now that's what war is like. We're living in a time when everybody thinks they got rights and nobody can do this to them and nobody can take this and you can't make me do this and you can't say that to me. And now war, when that comes, all that's off the table.
Yes, sir.
Anybody can do anything to you that they want to. And you can't do nothing about it. And you have nobody to cry to help me. Or to make them pay for what they did. No, not anymore. Nothing like that. There's a lot of great suffering during wartime. It's unimaginable. Can't even put it in words. Would not even begin to describe the suffering that is involved in a real war. Yeah. And the people who do the suffering are the people just on the sidelines. The collateral damage. The children. The women. They lose their husbands. Husband was taken. Had to go to war and they're left with nothing.
Yeah.
See, Raymond told me a while ago back in the Vietnam, when they were drafting, if a man was a only son of the family, he didn't get drafted. If a family just had one son, he didn't get drafted. Well, that came from, considerate. What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, they considered families. You send your only son and he gets killed. Well, that's a hard lick for a family.
Yeah.
They allowed for that. In World War II, I don't think they allowed for such things. Everybody had to go. I know a man, and I did know. I mean, I remember him, but he lived here. My grandpa told me he was 38 years old, had 7 or 8 kids, and he was kind of smart. I like ran his mouth, and said they wasn't sending him, and they got word of it, and they sent him, and he ended up on the beach in Normandy, 38 years old, with 7 kids at home. It was real war.
Yes, sir.
It didn't matter. Everybody had to do without at home, and everybody had to do their part, and everybody had to do something, or we're going to lose this thing.
Yep.
When there's a real war, everything is at stake. Everything's at risk, great risk of being lost. Even your life. And in spite of all the negative things about war, there are some things that are worth going to war for. And see, the Bible has told us here, this is Solomon's wisdom of a lifetime, that God gave him this understanding. There is a time of war. They seem to have seen a lot more of it back then than we're seeing right now. But what I think it looks to me like is we've just been through a long period of peace here. And the tension has just built up to where it's just going to be a worldwide bloodbath when it does. I say it often, you know, we're in such a situation now to where it's just like we're walking in gasoline everywhere and everybody's got a match in their hand.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's just going to take a spark.
Yep.
And it's on. And then it'll be all this.
Yeah.
That We're not in having to endure, not having to suffer. We're not losing anything now. We're living. And we're living peaceful. And we can go to bed at night. We can leave our houses and come to church and go home and everything will be all right. Most of the time. We don't have that fear of everywhere we go. Somebody may be stopping us or doing something to us. There's a lot of things that are worth going to war for. I'm going to give you some verses here out of the Bible and some examples. One of the things that's worth going to war for is something that God has given you. In Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. God said to Joshua, It's yours. I have given it to you. Now go take it. But you're going to have to take some people of war. It's going to be war to get it. Well, the generation before had said, Oh, it ain't worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't make it. They might beat us. Joshua didn't have that attitude. He didn't have it then, and he don't have it now, 40 years later when he's an old man. Joshua got up and got the people and said, Let's go. And they went. It's worth fighting for. If God's given you something, it's worth fighting for. What's God given us? What do you have that God's given you?
Right.
Well, it's worth fighting for.
Right.
Your family and those you love. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14, we read there, And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now, Abraham was not a man of war. He was a friend of God. Abraham was a peaceful man that just lived in a tent by himself, didn't bother nobody. He was a blessing to everybody that he got to know. And here Lot went off up to Sodom and got himself entangled with them. And now there's six kings. And this is, we're talking about nations here all involved in this. Abraham's got 318 men with swords. And they took Lot. He said, That's my family. This is not going to slide. So Abraham went up there with these 318 trained servants. Abraham's servants were loyal to him, or he wouldn't have trained them. He wouldn't have armed them.
That's right.
He wasn't afraid of them. He trusted them. He gave them, if it had been in our day, he'd give them guns. And I mean fighting guns, not pea shooters. And they went up there and got Lot. Got everything back, got the king of Sodom and all the stuff. Got it all. Brought it back. 318 men. This is one of these things worth fighting for. Your family. People you love. That's why men have always went to war. When it's a real war. And when there's really something at stake here. That's why they lined up in World War II to go to war. Because them people over there, were threatening our homes and our families and our country. They vowed they were going to take us over and destroy us. They said, No, you're not. We'll fight.
Sure.
There's not much of that spirit anymore. There's not. There's none. I keep leaning off into what I'm thinking, but when somebody brings an army against you with the intention of annihilating you and your people, that is a time to go to war. 2 Samuel 10, verse 6 and 7. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and the king and of King Maacah, 1,000 men. Hired a bunch of hired guns to help them out. Because they knew, they saw that they stank in the nostrils of David. They stank before David. They knew he was going to do something about it. You see? They said, Well, you might as well buckle down because he's coming after us. So they went and hired a bunch of people to help him. And of Ishtob, 12,000 men. 20,000 footmen there, 12,000 other men, 1,000 from King Maacah. So how many is that? 20 and 12 and 1. 20 and 13, that's 33,000 they hired to help them fight David. And when David heard it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Didn't slow him down one bit. It's a time of war. It's a time to fight. Now, they're going to come at David with all of these men. He didn't sit there and wait on them to come. He went after them.
That's right.
Don't you think? The best defense is what?
Good offense.
Yes. You go after them. When they're aiming to come after you, you go after them first.
Right.
Don't sit at home and wait for them to come to your home to fight.
Right.
It's a time of war. There's a time to fight. There's things that's worth fighting for. There's things worth dying for. If you got to die, it's better to die.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
How many of you have ever read Patrick Henry's whole speech he made at that church that night where he said, give me liberty or give me death? You need to read the whole thing. There's a lot of that he said to preface that you need to hear and need to know about. So you know where that's coming from out of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Context. Yes, sir. Context. All right, time of war. And he said, and then there's a time of peace. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house under the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side. Until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil concurrent. That's Solomon. He said, you know how it was with my father David. He couldn't build the house of God because of all the wars. He had to fight his whole life. He was at war his entire life so that we could have peace. And that's right. What's one of the great results of war?
Peace.
Peace.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
That's a principle that applies in every level of life.
Yep.
You ain't going to have no peace in your home unless you're willing to go to war.
That's right.
About it.
That's right.
To kill the evil, fight out the evil,
yep.
Drive it out. Whatever's wrong has to be got rid of. Are we ain't having no peace here?
Right.
If you just leave it there, it's just going to fester and fester and fight and fight and fester, and it'll never be better. And that's why we've got so much trouble now.
Yes.
We haven't fought a war and won it since World War II.
Yeah.
We've lost everyone.
Right.
Well, we just quit.
Right.
We didn't fight to win.
Yep.
They sent Raymond and all them, no telling how many hundreds of thousand more over there to get maimed and killed and wouldn't let them. Fight and defeat the enemy.
True.
Never had that intention at all.
Nope.
Foolish. It isn't no wonder that the country rose up against it and everybody, and it turned into such a sour thing.
Yeah.
I don't believe in fight unless you're going to fight to win and finish the deal. Finish the fight.
Yes, sir.
You don't quit in the middle.
Yeah.
When with nothing settled, with not anything fixed, just quit. And you fought all this way for nothing. We didn't do it that way in World War II. I mean, Germany would not surrender to the last inch of ground. They had to be absolutely vanquished before they gave up. They didn't ever really give up. They were just totally decimated. Japan was pretty much the same way. They were going to fight to the bitter end. Until they realized that it was going to come sooner than they thought.
Yes.
After Harry Truman dropped two nuclear bombs on them.
Yeah.
See, people understood back then. See, they can't do that now. Everybody's armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. And all the big countries are afraid to use them.
Yeah.
Well, it was a hard decision. How would you like to have made his decision? But he just looked at the facts. He said, we're going to win. We've got them almost conquered. But we're going to have to fight for months. And we're going to lose thousands of more of our boys.
Yep.
And he said, we can do this and put them on their knees in 2 days. So that's what they did.
Yep.
And they did. They got on their knees.
Yes.
Did you ever see that Japanese general on his knees? Those soldiers deserved that reward. It's what they fought for and died for. That's the way a war is supposed to end. Peace is quietness where war is not. Peace is tranquility. It's free from disturbance. Harmony between those which were at variance when the war's over. You know what Robert E. Lee said about the Confederate flag that everybody's making such a deal of? Now, you know what he said after the war? He said, fold it up and put it away. Robert E. Lee said that.
Yes, sir.
The one they hate now.
Yes, sir.
One of their sons is a slave, and he freed what slaves were given to him. He got rid of them.
Yeah, he gave them their freedom.
It's a lie. All you're hearing is a lie.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Tearing down all these statues and all that. It's a dirty, rotten lie out of hell. Robert E. Lee was probably one of the best men that this country ever had. And that's the truth. Godly, character, humble. I mean, a good man. That's why Lincoln chose him first to lead the armies of the Union. And he turned him, and Robert E. Lee turned him down because he wouldn't fight his own people. When the enemies are conquered, that's when peace happens. The enemies have to be conquered, or else you're at war. Or else you're headed into war. You don't have peace unless the enemies are conquered. That means they're neutralized. That means they're whipped to the point that they're not going to rise up again. That's why they put MacArthur in Japan, and that's why they had the law in Japan for so long. And a lot of people don't really know, but there was not a peace treaty for years after the war with Japan. They were under martial law, and the reason was they were keeping an eye on them to see if they was going to stay still or if they was going to try it again. That's the way it was. So there's rest when the enemies are conquered. There's rest and there's quietness, and you can sit on your porch and drink your coffee or your tea and listen to the birds sing and not be afraid of what's about to happen or not fear. You can plan for the future and think about your children growing up and your grandchildren and all of that. There's rest. There's freedom to think about and pursue other causes when there's peace. Instead of figuring out how to blow them up and shoot them down, you can direct all that creativity and that energy and those resources to something that's constructive instead of tearing it down. Isn't it funny about mankind how they are? They're either destroying what they've built or they're building it again. They wanted to split the atom. Oh, well, because it'd be a good thing. We can generate electricity and we can do all kinds of things. We can just split the atom. What was the first thing they did with it? Kill 200,000 or 300,000 people. It's the first thing. Man is he's at his best in his creativity when it's figuring out how to make a bomb, a gun, a poison, something to kill other people with. He excels in that very well. Like all the other times that he talks about in this chapter, these can be applied to our lives in all areas, not just the literal meaning of the words war and peace. There's a time of war and a time of peace in the home. There's just times when the enemy has got a stronghold in your home. Now you better be willing to fight for your home. Don't listen to all the worldly counselors that talk about how it's just everything. They make up this romantic fantasy about how that it's everything just rose garden when you're married and you got children and everything just everybody's so nice to each other and all that. There's no such a thing. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. You're going to have bumps in the road. You're going to have problems that come up in your home and between you and between you and your children and all of that. You better be willing to fight for what is right. Not just fight for the sake of fighting.
No.
There's a time when strength has to stand up and say, no.
That's right.
We're not doing that. Now, it's hard to when you're young, you know, I mean, I remember when we were young, things were not right. And, of course, when things are not right, you're going to fight. Mm-hmm. And I've always had this in me. Even when I wasn't saved, I still, I'm not quitting fighting until we get this thing settled. Now, don't you lay there and go to sleep. We're staying up and fighting.
Yeah.
Now, you're either going to yield or we're just going to keep fighting. You know, maybe I wasn't right sometimes. Yeah. Once or twice, she said. Well, that's just an important thing. I wish I could be more clear about it. But it's the same in a church, too.
Yes.
There's times in a church when it's rough waters. But let me tell you something. If you go to these churches that have a pastor who won't stand up against wolves,
right,
they ain't going to make it. The whole place is going to be destroyed. Children are going to be lost.
Right.
I mean, it's the wolves are going to ravish everything. You got to have somebody that's willing to stand up. The father in the home is the one that's supposed to stand up for his home.
Right.
In a church, the men of the church should stand up. Not just the pastor,
right,
but he's the one at the gate.
Yep.
On the job, there's things worth fighting for. What's right is right. There's a time to go to war about it. In our soul, there's a time of war and there's a time of peace. What's that song you just sang? Just spelled it out real clear. He struggled and struggled and he couldn't get it right. He just up and down and no peace and all of this, but finally, after a long struggle, victory. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Sweet victory. War is terrible. In any situation, in a church, in a family, in a nation, any kind of war is awful. But the end of it, if it ends right, if you'll stick in there and fight it to the end, it's mighty sweet.
Yes, sir.
You need to purposefully look at things like this. I know most all of you have seen these pictures at the end of World War II. You remember the big ship that's coming into New York Harbor up there with all those soldiers on it? And the airplanes flying over. They're coming home. They won. The enemy's defeated. The city was just, you know, blowing up with confetti and flags and shouts and tears. And
sure.
That's what it's like when you're willing to fight for what is right, for what is worth it. There's sweet victory for those who will hang in there, who are willing to pay the price. If it costs everything, there's stuff that's worth having, worth keeping, worth protecting, that is worth dying for. Be better off dead than to lose this one. Yes, sir. I just can't imagine, you know, I've thought about it. I'm old enough to have known lots of people that were alive back then. And that day, you know, when they got the news, it's over. Because a lot of people in this country, everybody had to sacrifice and do without. You couldn't get tires, couldn't get sugar, couldn't get gasoline, you had to live without stuff. So we could win this thing. That's how they made all those airplanes and ships and aircraft carriers and guns and trucks and tanks that I read about the other day. That's impossible. How did they make so many in 3.5 years? That's how they did it. Everybody pitched in. This country was united. Didn't matter about Democrat or Republican. It didn't matter if you was black or white. It didn't matter what kind of church you went to. Everything's at stake here, and we got to lay aside whatever differences we got and fight together.
That's true.
And so that was the greatest generation, see. And they bought for us with blood all these years of peace. And prosperity that we've taken for granted.
Yep.
Yes, and squandered.
Exactly right.
Yep. We just need to be thinking about some of these things. Mm-hmm. Preparation for war is sometimes the best security for peace. Yep. George Washington said that. He said the way to avoid war, the way to secure the peace is to be always ready for war.
Yes.
Ronald Reagan had that philosophy. It works.
Yes,
it's like carrying a gun on, you know, that's the best way to be safe. It's the best way to deter crime. You know, if a criminal, I mean, he ain't gonna come in here if he knows there's four or five of us got guns.
Yep.
They ain't gonna do that. An intruder ain't going to come in your house if he knows you got a shotgun right there ready at the ready. He ain't going to bust in and try to kill you.
That's right.
Or hurt your family.
That's right.
Same way with everything else.
Yes, sir.
You know, you ain't going to pick on that some lowlife, evil, wicked thing. Ain't going to pick on somebody or threaten somebody if he knows he'll fight you. Because most evil people are cowards.
That's it.
That's right.
It's true.
Real courage comes from real faith in God and real convictions about what's right and wrong.
Yep.
And what's worth living for and what's worth dying for in his life.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Those are the people that will get you. Good people won't fight until they are forced to, but when they do, when you push them to that place, you better get yourself prepared because you are going to get defeated.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
A good man fights out of principle and for a cause. An evil person is just fighting for selfish wickedness.
Right. Yep.
So, time of peace and a time of war. We got a time of peace. You better enjoy it because it may be short-lived.
Yes.
You think it's bad that they make you wear a mask? You think it's bad they won't let you in a nursing home? These are the things we're suffering right now. Oh.
Yes,
you talk about light affliction.
Yes, sir.
Compared.
Yes, sir.
What it can be.
Yep.
What it could be a week from now.
Yes, sir.
Better enjoy this time of peace. Better thank God for it.
Yes.
You better realize there's a time of war too. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Please bless it to our hearts. And really, I mean that, Lord. Help us to remember the things we've heard today in the house of God. Pray it'd strengthen us and encourage us. It'd help us to be more like you and to live closer to you. Lord, last days we're going through here, and I pray you'd help us to stand strong and be steadfast and unchangeable in this world that's upside down. Please go with us now and watch over us and get us safely home, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.